Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network. You're listening to the newchurches.com Q&A podcast. New Churches is an online hub for the mission of church multiplication. Here you'll find the resources and training you need to get started, as well as a community of church planting and multi-site experts to help you thrive. My name is Daniel Lim, and I'm here with Ed Stetzer.
And hello, Daniel M. I'm Ed Stetzer.
awkwardly slow response there. So
I'm tired. It's a long day.
Yeah. All right. Well, you know what? We have a fascinating question that came in that I initially thought was from someone else. And then when I heard the person's voice, I was like, oh, this isn't the Michael Kelly that I thought it was going to be. Yeah. So, all right. So let's listen in.
Hi, my name is Mike, and I have been volunteering in student ministry for the last 10 years. Now, I've been at a large church for most of that time. My question, although I've been in what Sam Rainer might know as established churches, my question is with new churches. And there's a thing coming up where a lot of churches are going to be promoting micro churches as we come out of the COVID season. My question is how, as we launch these micro churches or small church plants, how can we encourage and develop strong student ministries out of that? I don't have a lot of experience in church planting, so that's why I'm asking this question. Thanks, and God bless all that you guys are doing.
Well, you know, I mean, it's a good question. It's probably a more complex question than even at first appears, because I mean, a lot of it depends on what the micro church looks like and maybe its philosophy of ministry. And, you know, our experience has been that there are different kinds of micro churches. And so let's just say at its simplest, I've sat in Neil Cole's living room with Alan Hirsch, and we had pork, if I recall. I know that's a little random, but we had pork, if I recall. But the point is that out of that living room, you know, Neil, over 1,000 churches would have multiplied out of that. And I would say in Neil's kind of philosophy and approach to ministry, and again, I'm not Neil, but you know, the idea is that the house church, the organic church, is not in the same way going to be age grading people. So, student ministry in most of those churches would be just Christian ministry, would just be what everyone else does with everyone else, and so there's an expectation that, you know, there wouldn't be like, you know, the Wednesday night student ministry, you know, the Friday night lock-in, you know, whatever kind of stuff. People still do lock-ins anyway. The point is that
I think all youth pastors are trying to delete that from everyone's
vocabulary. That's better for everybody and your sleep patterns as well. So I think that part of that would be that students would be brought into the life of the congregation as the young adults that they are. I would say that another way to see and to see how this might play out is that if it's a movement, then sometimes the student ministry does connect, but it connects across the movement. So, for example, there might be 15, 20 such house churches or you know micro churches in a town. And they would maybe have something for students as well. So a lot of it, now he's a youth pastor, so that makes it sort of tricky, because there's not a lot of youth pastoring that takes place in micro church contexts. And I'm not saying you can't be a youth pastor, but I am saying that it's kind of like a worship pastor. There's not like a whole lot of worship pastor roles in micro church contexts, because there's not, you know, a gathered space where, you know, 100 people or more can sing together, and there's not a band and all this kind of stuff. So it's so much of our professionalized ministry roles. I don't know a single organic church that has an executive pastor, you know, worship pastor, a student pastor. We can list all those things. So it sort of feels like when he asks that question, it's sort of like, you know, a fish asking a question about something on land. It's just, I don't think in terms of those categories. Yeah. I wish we could ask follow-up questions, because I'd like to know more of what he's thinking, but certainly there can be community student ministry. There can be collaborative student ministry with other micro churches or outside of micro churches and more. My experience has been that most people in micro churches who have student age, you know, youth group age, you might say in the old days, student age, participants, that they actually are involved in the life of the organic church and the house church, the simple church, the micro church, and often are engaged in the student ministry of some other church in town where they're also engaging, yeah. You know, because in the larger group context.
Yeah, that's good landscape. I think the one leg up, and he had mentioned he was a volunteer in the student ministry, but he could very well be leading the student ministry through that volunteer context. So I don't necessarily know if he's thinking about it from a paid perspective.
Yeah, that's fair. And I didn't pick up on that, yeah. But that is a fair distinction between the two.
Yeah, but I do think there you bring up a couple interesting points because the first church plant, other than the church plant that I was born into, the first church plant that I was a paid staff member at, we went from meeting in a school gymnasium to home church, to house church, a house church model because the pastor had committed adultery and the whole thing was in shambles. Yeah, that's not and we were just trying to survive
to get there, but yes, that could be a path.
Yeah. And when we were there weekly meeting in living rooms, I was in charge of the youth ministry and the young adults ministry and a bunch of other things because I was really the only paid staff member at the time. And it was interesting because I just think back to that and you're right. I mean, we being a house church, we really did turn more into a family model. Of worship. Now, we didn't have the youngest kids with us. There was still a separate kids ministry within the house, but everyone youth on upwards was all together. So it is interesting to think about what a student ministry could look like within a micro church model. Now, I wonder how many would actually, I don't know if I would be on board with this, but I wonder if some would actually think, oh, maybe the youth ministry should be its own micro church. The issue that I have with that is you just lose the intergenerational aspect of that. And then you end up just having, when does that work? And it's kind of a church within a church model.
How do you get enough? Yeah. Like if it's a micro church, you're thinking micro, I don't know, 20, let's say, maybe 30. So of that, you know, what percentage would be students? I mean, is it 3 or 4?
That's right.
So I think that's the challenge. You've got to have some sort of collaborative or community. So either community where there's a community student ministry, more of the people than that, or something collaborative with other micro churches. I think student ministry, community and collaborative, that would make sense. I would say that in his case, you know, he's a volunteer in that space. And so what I would say is, you know, let's come back to the Neil Cole thing. They could do an LTG, a life transformation group, and that could be, you know, 2 to 3 people if it's 2 to 3. So you could be involved in discipling. So the first church plant I was involved in was actually a church plant in the Episcopal Church. And this was, you know, I was a student ministry person. I was a high school age, I guess. I'm trying to remember if it was right around high school age. But, you know, brand new believer, had come to Christ. And I remember the pastor of the church plant, his name's Greg Brewer. He's now the bishop of the Diocese of Central Florida. So I didn't have a lot of interaction with him, but there was this volunteer youth leader, I guess I would say. He worked in insurance. His name was Steve Morgan. If I remember, all my people played, my players together, and there were just like 3 or 4 of us. There were maybe 30 people in the church, and there were 3 or 4 of us in the student ministry. And what a student ministry! It was a small group. I was actually eventually we got a building, and we met in the kitchen. Which was kind of, you know, because it's a little teeny building today. It's a, you know, it's Church of the New Covenant, Winter Springs, Florida, and it's a much more substantive church. It's affiliated with the Anglican Church in North America today. But I would say that, so just to talk some about the relationship is there. So Steve Morgan, if I remember he was the Bible study leader. We also went to this Assemblies of God Church some on Tuesday night. But that was the bigger group. But if I remember Steve as the Bible study leader, I think I was, this was not yesterday, just to get that out there, Daniel, you probably figured this a little while ago, he was so influential on my life that when I went on a date with my girlfriend, he drove us for some special thing, and he drove us because I didn't have a license. And when you look at my wedding pictures, it's, you know, it's a bunch of 20-year-olds. I got married at 20, a bunch of my college friends and my brother. And then this 40-something-year-old man named Steve Morgan, who was in my wedding party. So that's how influential that close relationship of a volunteer was. And so he's living in Orlando. I think he's still involved in the insurance industry. Had a stint where he did some vocational ministry as well, but not when I knew him. So I would say, as a volunteer, that the opportunity for just, you know, profound impact. I mean, Steve Morgan profoundly impacted my life as a volunteer youth pastor. Now, again, here's the thing. Right now, if you're a microchurch person, you're going to shout at the speakers saying, you know, you were small, but you aren't philosophically a microchurch. And I think both of us would say that's true. In your case, it was because of a moral scandal. In my case, it was because we were at a church plant. But when we're trying to talk about the student ministry options, you know, for me, I draw it from both the community and the collaborative. Those are options. But I would just say discipling. And I still remember Steve Morgan taking me out and said, we got to learn on something on discipleship. We went to a bookstore and just tried to find a book on discipleship. I think we ended up with The Cost of Discipleship, which might have been one of the first Christian books I read. Yes. Yeah, we didn't know any better. I didn't know any better. Maybe he knew better. Gosh, and that's so long ago. I hope I remember all the details right. And he probably listened to the podcast like, that's not good. Anyway, but so I would say is that profound impact can come, but that's going to come in a small group. And if you didn't know what an LTG is, a life transformation group, is something that Neil Cole sort of, they do in part of their kind of their missional community growth aspects of what they do. And you can read his book.
Oh, yeah. Organic Church. Yeah. That's good. Hey, let's hear a quick word from our sponsor for today, and then we'll wrap up with a few last comments. No matter how many people you have on staff at your church, there's only so much you can accomplish in a day, right? Your church exists to serve your community, so the mission of your church and its staff is to reach as many people as you can. That's why productivity is essential for churches, as most of your church's success lies in its ability to lean into and leverage resources for optimum performance. And thankfully, our friends at Belay know this well. Belay, an innovative staffing solution with over 10 years of experience serving churches, has successfully matched thousands of organizations with part-time virtual assistants, bookkeepers, and social media strategists. That's why they're offering our listeners a free download of their resource, Church Leaders: Essential Strategies to Unleash Productivity. Let Belay help your church live its mission in your community by helping you juggle less and accomplish more. Just go to Belay, that's BELAY solutions.com/Lifeway for your free download. Now back to the episode. All right. So as I think about the microchurch context, and you think, okay, what is the microchurch being formed around? And if you just take the example of a geographically oriented microchurch where you're really trying to reach that neighborhood that you're in, and then you think about student ministry within that context, it's very well possible that you could have one or two high schools, or maybe just one high school or middle school that is within your area that you can reach. So within the microchurch context, you could definitely build a student ministry in and around that. I know for our church, we're not a microchurch, but there are several high schools in our area, and we actually, a bunch of our student ministries within our city partner together, and we host Alpha at every one of the high schools. And by doing it that way, it's the sense of, yeah, I mean, all of our students aren't just in one high school, they're spread around, but that way they're able to lead together and facilitate and grow and disciple one another and grow in that way. So perhaps your role within a microchurch context within student ministry is about equipping students. It's about discipling them, equipping them, developing them into leader developers, into disciplers where they can then go disciple others within their context, rather than saying, hey, you all come to our church and then I'm going to disciple you. More of that Ephesians 4, equip the saints sort of model. So there you go. Thank you so much, Mike, for sending in that question. And we do hope that some of this was helpful for you. But man, if you're thinking about micro churches and you haven't read Organic Church, I mean, that book by Neil Cole with LTGs, I mean, that's actually, Ed, that's the book that we were using, because the church plant, it was in 2005, 2006 is when all that was happening. And I think that's in and around the time where the book was written and came out. And I mean, a lot of that we were implementing within our context. So just super, super helpful and a great resource. Well, thank you so much for listening in, and we will catch you next time.